Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control. My sugar was out of control. Waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, see that banner go. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 458. Got a little chest congestion tonight. Pardon me if I have to pause and mute the mic every once in a while. We're in the book of 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 7. There's not a lot of notes, but there are some, so you might want to write them down to get the references. I always like to give lots of references whenever I can. So let's get this out of the way. If you have missed any of my shows due to scheduling or whatever, my website is www.pastor-steve.com. All my shows are there, both the wake-up call shows and the word-for-word shows. So you can download or just listen on site. There's no interaction, so there's no trolling, no interference, no nonsense. It's strictly a Bible study site. So if you want to listen to my stuff, look over the things that are for sale. You can access the information on how to get my translations there. Simple little, easy-to-use website. I'm very happy with it. Let's get started in chapter 7 of the book of 2 Corinthians, pardon me. Verse 1, having then these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting set-apartness in the fear of Elohim. And for verse 1, you can reference Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Genesis 12, 1, Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, that's Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, and Revelations chapter 18, verse 4, Revelations 18, 4. Verse 2, make room for us. We wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We exploited no one. Verse 3. I do not say this to condemn, for I previously said that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. In other words, to die to sin together and to live in Yeshua Messiah together. Okay? Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I have been filled with encouragement. I overflow with joy in all our pressure. Whenever he refers to pressure, it means persecution and troubles from other people. Okay? Verse 5 of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Reference 2 Corinthians 2, verse 13. It references another verse in 2 Corinthians. For indeed, when we came into Macedonia, that's Macedonia in your English, our flesh had no rest, but we were hard pressed on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. Verse 6. But Elohim, who encourages the downcast, encouraged us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7. That would be Titus, okay? And not only by his coming, but also by the encouragement with which he was encouraged over you when he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your ardor for me, so that I greatly rejoiced. They were longing for him to return. They were mourning that he had left. And they were eager for his return. Okay. Verse 8. For even if I made you sad with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceived that the same letter made you sad, even if for an hour. In the first letter, he took them to task over some stuff that was going on with some of the members there. Okay? He laid it right on the line. He didn't pull any punches with it. Didn't sugarcoat it. Verse 9. I now rejoice, not that you were made sad, but that you were saddened into repenting. In other words, people changed their ways. For you were made sad according to Elohim, so that you suffered no loss from us. They were sorry that they were doing what they were doing, and they repented and asked for forgiveness. That was the whole intent of that letter. Not to beat up on them verbally, but to exhort them to righteousness so they would come back into the fold and act right. Verse 10. For sadness, according to Elohim, works repentance to deliverance. Not to be regretted, but the sadness of the world works death. And the world would be the order of arrangement. Okay, the cosmos. The sadness of the order of arrangement, the satanic way of life here. It works spiritual death. Verse 11. For see how you have been saddened according to Elohim, how much it worked out in you eagerness, indeed clearing of yourselves, indeed displeasure, indeed fear, indeed longing, indeed ardor, indeed righting of wrong. And every way you proved yourself to be clear in the matter. In other words, they straightened up because they really respected Paul and what he was teaching them. And when he took them to task for some things, it made them sorry. Verse 12. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but for the sake of revealing our diligence for you before Elohim. In other words, he was keeping tabs on them and was making sure they were walking in the right path. Verse 13. For this reason we have been encouraged in your encouragement. Made them happy that they repented. And we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Just associating with believers and doers of the word is refreshing. I experienced that at this last Feast of Tabernacles. What a blessing. It was tremendous. Well, same back then. When you get people that repent and straighten up their ways, it's a victory in Yahweh. And if you love Yahweh, that's your victory too. You love that. Verse 14, because if I have boasted somewhat about you to him, I am not ashamed. In other words, he was telling Titus what a great congregation this could be. Continuing on in verse 14, but as we spoke to you in all truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. In other words, they had listened to his first letter, had repented, and got things straightened out in the congregation. And when Titus got there, he found a repentant, truly righteous congregation, and it made him so happy. Well, how can you not be happy around people that love Yahweh and obey his word? You've got to be happy, okay? Verse 15, and his tender feelings are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of all of you. Now, obedience to Yahweh. He remembers that obedience, and it makes him very happy that these are of the remnant. Of course, as he remembers the obedience of all of you as you received him with fear and trembling. They were glad to have another preacher come and visit them. Verse 16. I rejoice that in every way I am of good courage by reason of you. In other words, he got through to that congregation, they straightened up, and it made him feel great. It bolstered his spirits to see that he made a difference and actually got these people to straighten up. Well, how do you think the preachers today feel when somebody comes off the fence and joins the remnant? That's a great victory. It's wonderful. We are happy. We are happy, happy, happy to have another brother in the fold. That's what it's all about. That ends chapter 7, beginning chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, and verses 1 through 4. Here, verses 1 through 4, you can reference Romans chapter 15, verse 26. Romans 15:26, verse 1 of chapter 8. Now, brothers, we make known to you the favor of Elohim, which has been given in the assemblies of Macedonia. Verse 2. That in much trial of pressure, the overflowing of their joy and their deep poverty overflowed into the riches of their generosity. Verse 3. Because I bear witness that according to their ability, and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily. In other words, even though they were poor, they were helping one another. That's the whole deal. Verse 4, begging us with much urgency for the favor of taking part in this service to the set apart ones. Verse 5, and not as we had expected, and not as we had expected, they gave themselves first to the Master, and then to us by the desire of Elohim. Verse 6, that we should urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this kind gift in you as well. Verse 7, but as you excel in every way, in belief and speech, and knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love for us, that you should excel in this kind gift as well. Verse 8, I speak not by command, but I am proving the genuineness of your love by the eagerness of others. Verse 9, for you know the favor of our Master Yeshua Messiah, that being rich, he became poor for your sake, so that you might become rich through his poverty. In other words, when Yeshua was here, he walked around in sandals and a robe, and even though he was the Son of Yahweh, a divine being on earth in the flesh of a man, he didn't raise himself up with earthly riches. He served as a humble servant the people. That's the example. So with us, if we don't have a lot of money, we can do certain things. We've got gifts. We can help one another where we can. That's what he's teaching here. Help one another. Love one another in Yeshua Messiah. Verse 10. And in this I give an opinion. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. Verse 11. And now also complete the work, that as there was a readiness in desiring it, so there should also be a completion out of what you have. Verse 12. For if the readiness is present, it is well received according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. In other words, make do with what you do have to help others. If you're not rich in money, you can be rich in spirit and you can help others. You can feed them, whatever. If you got an Israelite that's down and out. Verse 13, not, however, that others should be eased and you hard depressed. In other words, don't give everything away and starve your own family, but help where you can. Verse 14, and that clarifies it here, but by fair sharing, that now at this time your plenty for their need, so that their plenty might also be for your need, that there might be fair sharing. In other words, what goes around comes around. If you help somebody today, and then you get a little down and out, they might be able to help you. Well, that's how it's supposed to be in our Christian assemblies. We're to help each other. Verse 15, and you can reference Exodus chapter 16, verse 18. I got my tongue in front of my eye teeth and couldn't see what I was saying. That's Exodus 16, verse 18. Verse 15 here. As it has been written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had not less. Verse 16. But thanks be to Elohim, who puts the same eagerness for you into the heart of Titus. He's glad to be there preaching to these people and helping them and guiding them. Okay? That's what that is all about. Verse 17. Because he received the appeal, indeed, but being more eager, he went to you of his own accord. In other words, he wanted to go and help these brethren. That's the calling. He's called. Okay? Verse 18. And we sent with him the brother whose praise is in the good news through all the assemblies. Verse 19, and not only so, but who was also chosen by the assemblies to travel with us with this gift that is administered by us to the esteem of the Master himself and your ready mind. Verse 20, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this generous gift, which is administered by us. Verse 21, and you can reference Proverbs 3, verse 4. Proverbs 3, 4. For we provide what is right, not only in the sight of Yahweh, but also in the sight of men. Verse 22. And we sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved eager in many ways, but now much more eager because of the great reliance which we have in you. Verse 23, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for you. As for our brothers, they are messengers of the assemblies, the esteem of Messiah. Verse 24, therefore, show to them the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf and in the presence of the assemblies. In other words, take care of these brothers when they get there. That ends chapter 8. Now here is chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Indeed, concerning the service to the set apart ones, it is unnecessary for me to write to you. Verse 2, for I know your eagerness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your ardor has stirred up most of them. In other words, their enthusiasm is infectious, and it just, wow, you know. They're just a beacon of light. Verse 3, but I sent the brothers, lest our boasting on behalf of you should be made empty in this part, in order that, as I said, you were ready. Verse 4, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you are not ready, we, not to speak of you, should be put to shame because of our belief. In other words, he knew they were ready, and he sent certain people, but not other Macedonians, because if there were any problems, they would be put to shame, because he'd been bragging on them. Oh, this congregation's fired up. These are some righteous folks. They've repented, and they've got everything straight, and, you know, etc., etc. Verse 5. So I thought it necessary to appeal to the brothers to come to you in advance and arrange, pardon me, your promised blessing beforehand. This to be ready as a blessing and not as greediness. In other words, their donation to help the poor that they had gotten together. They're not going there to be greedy to get personal gain. They're going to bring that back and take care of the poor elsewhere. A lot of them in Jerusalem, there were very poor people in Jerusalem that were of the remnant because of the massive, overwhelming persecution. Okay, verse 6. And this, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows on blessing shall also reap on blessing. Verse 7 of chapter 9, you can reference Sirach, chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. That's Sirach, chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not of grief or of necessity, for Elohim loves a joyous giver. Okay? It needs to be sincere, not that you feel obligated, be made obligated by other people. It has to be from your heart. It has to be sincere. Yahweh does not like falseness. Okay. Verse 8. And Elohim is able to make all favor overflow toward you, that you, always having all you need in every way, have plenty for every good work. If you're sincere and you give, you will be blessed. I have seen that myself, in myself and others. Verse 9. As it has been written, and this is written in Psalm 112, verse 9. This is a quote from Psalm 112, verse 9. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Verse 10 of chapter 9. And you can reference Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Isaiah 55, 10. Verse 10 here. And he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and increase the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. In other words, if you are helping the brethren who are teaching and preaching, you are helping in that teaching and preaching. That's the whole deal. Verse 11, being enriched in every way for all simplicity, which works out thanksgiving to Elohim through us. Verse 12, because the rendering of this service not only supplies the need of the set apart ones, but also is overflowing through many thanksgivings to Elohim. They're praising Yahweh and thanking him for that blessing that they're getting from the other brothers and sisters. That's only proper because it's a gift from Yahweh. Yahweh provided to them in order to give to you to help you in your work. Well, we should be overwhelmingly thankful for what we have. Okay? Verse 13. Through the proof of this service, they esteem Elohim on the submission of your confession to the good news of Messiah and generosity in sharing with them and all men. Sharing that good news. Verse 14. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding favor of Elohim in you. They pray for these brothers and sisters as we need to pray for one another. We know somebody is sick or afflicted. Pray for them. If it's sincere, Yahweh listens. Verse 15, thanks also to Elohim for his unspeakable gift. That's the Holy Spirit, the gift of Yeshua Messiah. It's so overwhelming, it's absolutely unspeakable. That ends chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Let me get a little drink of coffee. Keep the pipes lubricated here. All right, now we go into chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 1. And I, Shaul, myself appeal to you through the meekness and gentleness of Messiah, I who am indeed lowly when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent. Very humble. Verse 2. But I pray that when I am present, I might not be bold with that bravery by which I think to be bold against some who reckon us as if we walked according to the flesh. Okay, he's not walking in the way of the world. He's walking in spirit. Okay. Verse 3. Very important verse here in chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, he's in an earthly body, we do not fight according to the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons we fight with are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim for overthrowing strongholds. Verse 5, overthrowing reasonings and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to make it obedient to the Messiah. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. And for verse 6, you can reference the book of John, chapter 3, verse 36. Verse 3:36 of the book of John. So we're fighting against spiritual strongholds. So the word that comes through these preachers is mighty in Yahweh for overthrowing those demonic spiritual strongholds. It refutes their claims. It shines light on their evilness and their falsehood. That's what he's saying. Overthrowing reasonings and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim. In other words, the claptrap put out by these false churches and false pastors. We refute that by quoting the word and showing their error and their deception. That's what they were doing then. That's what we are doing now. Verse 7 of chapter 10. Take a look at what you are facing. If anyone seems to trust in himself that he is of Messiah, let him reckon again for himself that as he is of Messiah, so also are we. Verse 8, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Master gave us for building up and not for overthrowing you, I shall not be put to shame. Verse 9, lest I seem to frighten you away by letters. Well, what was in the letters? Admonishing and exhorting to righteousness. But sometimes he had to get down on some things and mention some things that certain individuals were doing that was wrong. And that offends some people sometimes. They don't like to have their faults pointed out, but that's the job sometimes of preachers. We just say, look, this is going on, this is wrong. And it upsets some people. Okay. Verse 10. Because they say his letters are truly weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech amounts to naught. In other words, he was a very prolific and strong writer, but when he was in person, he was humble and lowly, and he didn't exalt himself. So they considered him weak. Okay? That was a mistake on the part of the ones that were downing Paul because he didn't shout and scream and holler and jump up and down and make a spectacle. Okay? Some people seem to need that. I get fire and brimstone many times. But a lot of times I'm just teaching the word and preaching the word, and I'm asking people, look, this is the facts that's in the Bible. You need to follow them. You can't holler and scream all the time. It doesn't work. You just run people off. All right. Verse 11. Let such a one take this into account, that what we are in word by letters, when absent, such also indeed when we are present. In other words, they live what they talk in the letters. In other words, you don't get on these shows and preach one thing and then go out in the world and do another. Can't do that. And I've said that, and I do it, and I try to walk the walk. You can't talk the talk and not walk the walk. Well, that's what they're saying right here. Verse 12. For we do not presume to count ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Braggarts. Okay? But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. verse 13. But we shall not boast beyond measure, but within the measure of the limits Elohim assigned unto us to reach even to you. Verse 14. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we also came to you with the good news of the Messiah. Verse 15. Not boasting beyond measure in the labor of others, but having an expectation that as your belief grows, we shall be greatly enlarged by you according to our limits. Verse 16, to bring the good news in the parts beyond you, not to boast in another's limits in what has been accomplished. Verse 17, reference Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Jeremiah 9, 24. Verse 17, but he who boasts, let him boast in Yahweh. Verse 18, for not he who commends himself is approved, but he whom the Master commends. You see these TV preachers? They got a great big meeting hall. They got a rich church. And they're selling the gospel. It's all about them and what you donate. They've made a commercial enterprise of it. Look what we've done. Look what we've got. Well, no, it's Yahweh's doing if it's real. What have we got? We have small congregations, but they are sincere. We don't do what is unscriptural in our congregations. We stay by the Word. And that makes it a little difficult sometimes, because a lot of times people don't want to hear the actual word. They want to have their ears tickled, so they go to a Judeo-Christian church and have their ears tickled. We are not in the habit of tickling of ears. Sometimes our message is a little rough to take. If you're so caught up in the world that you just can't turn loose of it, I'm sorry about that, but it has to be the way it has to be. What can I say? If you adulterate the word, it's going to come back to bite you. Well, I have plenty of time today. I've got more than 15 minutes, so I'm going to do chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, starting with verse 1 here. I wish that you would bear with me in a little folly, but indeed you are bearing with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous for you with a jealousy according to Elohim. For I gave you in marriage to one husband, to present you as an innocent maiden to Messiah, the bride. Okay? Verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 11, reference Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and verse 13. That's Genesis 3, 1 through 5 and verse 13. But I am afraid lest, as the serpent deceived Hawa, that's Eve, by his trickery, the Nakash, So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. Verse 4 of chapter 11, reference Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, verse 23, and verse 24. Matthew 24, 5, 23, 24, and the book of John, chapter 5, verse 43. John 5, 43. Verse 4 here. For, indeed, if he who is coming proclaims another Yeshua, whom we have not proclaimed. Okay, they twist the words. Okay, they change what was taught. They're false. Okay, whom we have not proclaimed. Or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different good news which you have not accepted, you put up with it well enough. Verse 5. For I reckon that I am not inferior to the most eminent emissaries. In other words, he's founded in the word. Verse 6. But even if I am unskilled in word, in other words, or speech, yet not in knowledge, but in every way we have been manifested among you in all matters. Verse 7. Or did I commit sin in humbling myself in order to exalt you? Because I brought good news, the good news of Elohim to you without being paid? Verse 8. Now this is metaphorical. Other assemblies I robbed by receiving wages from them to serve you. In other words, he had to get funded to come to these people. He wasn't really getting wages. He received funds to go and preach. Verse 9. You can reference Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. Philippians 4, 15 through 18. And when I was present with you and in need, I was not a burden to anyone, for what was lacking to me, the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied. And in every way I kept myself and shall keep from being a burden to you. Verse 10. It is a truth of Messiah in me that this boasting in me shall not be stopped in the district of Achaia. He boasts in Yeshua. He talks about him all the time. Verse 11. Why? Is it that I do not love you? Elohim knows. Verse 12. And I shall go on doing as I do in order to cut off the occasion from those desiring an occasion, so that in that which they boast, they might be found also, as are we. Verse 13. He's not given the fakers an opportunity. Verse 13. For such are false emissaries, deceptive workers, masquerading as emissaries of Messiah. Verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as a messenger of light. That's these fake preachers today, the prosperity preachers, the Judeo-Christian race-mixing liars. Verse 15, is it not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness? Okay. Whose end shall be according to their works? And for that verse, 15, You can reference Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. That's Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 22, and for the second thing, whose end shall be according to their works, reference Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42. Matthew 13, 41 and 42. Verse 16. Again I say, let no one think me to be a fool. And if otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, for me to also boast a little. Verse 17. What I speak not according to the master, but as in foolishness, in this boldness of boasting. Verse 18, since many boast according to the flesh, I too shall boast. Verse 19, for you, being wise, put up with fools gladly. He's boasting on them, bragging how good a congregation they've got, okay? Verse 20, for you put up with it if anyone enslaves you, if anyone devours you, if anyone takes from you, if anyone exalts himself, if one hits you in the face. Verse 21, to my shame I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I say it in foolishness, I am bold also. Listen to this carefully. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they of Israel? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Verse 23. Verse 23, you can reference Acts chapter 16, verse 23. Acts 16, 23. Are they servants of Messiah? I speak as beside myself. I am more. In labors, much more. In stripes above measure. That's beatings, okay? The stripes that you get on you from beatings. In prisons, more frequently in deaths, many times. Verse 24, reference Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 3. Deuteronomy 25, 3. 5 times I received from the Yahudim 40 stripes less one, because that with 39 stripes, it would kill him with the 40th. Stripe. Okay. Verse 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, floating on flotsam in the sea. Reference Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And chapter 16, verse 22. That's Acts 14, 19, and 16, 22. Verse 26. In many travels, in dangers of waters, in dangers of robbers, in dangers from my own race. In dangers from my own race. Okay. Are we in danger from our own race today? Yes, we are. In dangers from the nations, that's the pagan nations, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the desert, in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brothers. Reference Acts chapter 9, verse 23. That's Acts 9, 23, and chapter 14, verse 5. Verse 27, in toil and hardship, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. These are all the things he's gone through, okay? Verse 28, beside the matters from outside, what comes upon me daily? The anxiety for all the assemblies. He's worried about the remnant, okay? Same as we are. We're trying to follow this example. That's the whole point. Verse 29. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn inwardly with mistakes? Verse 30. If I have to boast, I shall boast of matters that show up my weakness. Verse 31, the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. Verse 32 and 33, now Damascus is Damasek here. In Damasek, the governor, under Aretas the sovereign, was guarding the city of the Damascium, wishing to seize me. Damascus, Syria, okay? Verse 33. But through a window, I was let down in a basket by the wall and escaped from his hands. You can reference Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. That's Acts 9, 23 through 25, and that ends chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Now I'm going to play the outro music. I wish Yahweh's blessing upon you. I will catch you on the next show, number 459, and we will do chapter 12 and 13 of 2 Corinthians and then get into Galatians. So may Yahweh bless and keep you and praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.